Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Phantom Pain, The Theater of Operations by Gregory Whitehead. Thank you for listening.
Phantom Pain.
It starts out with attraction, and that box is black, and the image in the center is of an eclipse, a single eclipse. It's like your eyes converge, and the edges of the eye holes, it's a black from like a box, the edges of the eye holes are painted white. So what happens is you get an image, when your two eyes look in, you get this kind of halo around your eyes that's sort of similar to the halo around the eclipse. The bed is a bottomless pit.
Out of the dark.
1490-something, 1497, a German surgeon named Hieronymus Brunschfeld published a book on injury, and for the first time reported gunshot wounds. And the frontispiece to the book was very popular in those days about wounds and wounding, to show a man with all the various things, with an arrow in a leg and a hammer in the head and a fire on a foot and a snake biting here and those kinds of things. And there's a picture of a gunshot wound there, I think, in his leg. I think it's his right leg. And they saw this wound that they didn't understand. It wasn't a knife wound, it wasn't a stab wound, it wasn't a blunt force from a sledgehammer or a hammer or a stick. It was this thing that looked bad, and the only thing that looked like it, and it became infected almost invariably, whereas a stab wound didn't necessarily become infected. But this thing had pieces of cloth in it, it got infected, it was dirty, it had parts of it that were more or less necrotic, that is dead, and it had this sort of foul look to it, and it promptly became infected and looked even worse. And the only thing that they saw before that behaved like that were poison wounds that had been poisoned by arrows or snakes or that sort of thing. And so they presumed, and presumed for centuries, that gunshot wounds were poison.
Ecstasy is a series of 13 bedrooms, a loosely narrative series of emotional states. For these reveries that usually have to do with this really wordless sadness that just kind of floods in when you see something that beautiful, the eroticism is the loss or inability of contact in the boxes. What happens is the spectator selects some headphones and move from box to box and take their little jack and fit it into the little orifice in the control box, and everything goes on. And then when they pull the jack out, it goes off. It's just, it's mostly just because I want there to be as little interference as possible. And I also think that the real sexualized aspect of jacking in is really important. I think there's that sense of control, you know, of like how one goes about turning these boxes on. I really wanted to think about that. In the past I've used little switches and so on, but I thought there was just something nice about the sexual metaphor of, you know, this jack. I was interested, I was doing a lot of reading about black holes and about the fact that there are supposedly these places where laws of space and time no longer apply. But one of the things I liked about it was that it was an absolutely mystical aspect of science. I mean, obviously they're not going to send a probe into a black hole and get any information back. So it led people to speculate in a very phantasmatic way about what would go on in certain kind of fictive, more or less fictive places in the universe where one could freely imagine whatever phenomena one liked. I really learned about desire from rather jaded sources. My favorite things when I was like in high school were these really decadent kind of pre-Raphaelite paintings that always showed like drowning women with white skin and red hair and stuff. I just love that whole kind of sickly, bejeweled opulence.
What occasioned it? Well, it seems to me what occasioned it is this rift or rupture of pain, you know, that produces pain, you know, and memory simultaneously. And that is violent, and the clot comes, the occlusion comes. Of course, the occlusion I use in two ways also, the occlusion atmospherically. See, so that it's like a precipitation as well as an occlusion. So it's both a clot and an opening at the same time. It's the same thing. But the clot is, in one sense, you might say, well, when the clot occurs in the conventional notion of a clot, it's like that. Well, you say, all right, that's the drama.
What I really wanted to happen when the spectator does this, when they jack in, was I wanted what goes on in the box to literally like blow them back a few feet with shock.
The lips of the wound and all about should be abraded. The wounds completely cleaned of fuzz, hair, and anything else, and wiped quite dry with fine lint soaked in warm wine. Well, that's good wound management. It still is. The problem is that didn't work as well for gunshot wounds because there was a lot of dead tissue.
Out of the dark.
Next is loss. That's kind of beige. Sort of pale bone color. Inside, it's sort of like a seascape, I guess. The floor is sand with little shells in it. And the walls are gauze with little lights that blink behind the gauze. The image is the Magritte painting, The Kiss. These people kissing, but with their faces entirely swathed in this kind of bandaging material. So there's like, they're almost like two featureless heads. There's no possibility of contact here in this painting. And so I wanted the whole walls to have that kind of bandaging feel to them. So it's cheesecloth.
I opened this place as an interdisciplinary center for exploring the phenomenon of phantom pain. Phantom pain is the experience of pain in an area where the real organs of sensation no longer exist. The problem, then, is finding some way to address the phantom reality of feelings that have been literally cut loose from the body. As you can see, each body here in the treatment area is completely wrapped in thick layers of sterilized gauze. So as the director of the center, my main role is to try to facilitate making connections in a situation where real contact among the subjects is impossible. People come to the center mostly just to talk. But by the time they leave, whatever happens is way outside of language. Yeah, I would say it's like a black hole, insofar as it's not so important what you put in, it's what you take out that counts. Well, over the years, I've learned that the meaning of a loss is much harder to treat than the loss itself. Phantom pain is the experience of pain in an area where the real organs of sensation no longer exist. Ultimately, what we try to communicate here is that if the pain has nothing to do with the body, neither will the eventual ecstasy of release.
Something dripping in my head, you remember Ham says, something dripping in my head. A heart in my head.
Next is fear, which is, it's interesting. I suppose because it's a very complex use of mirrors. The box is silver, and inside, the side walls in the back are all mirrors, so it's almost like an infinity tunnel. The images repeat off on each side, and it makes the box look twice as big, in fact. The bed is various crystals and kind of plastic ice cubes illuminated from below. This has the image of Saint Sebastian in it, and these on each side of him are these very large thorn bushes, so that, you know, you'll look in and see these needles aimed at your eyes. And it plays a song called Crash Goes Love by Lolita Holloway, which is an absolutely pounding disco song. Something about fear and aggressive female desire seem to go together in our culture. So this woman is basically singing, you know, I know what I want, I'm going to get it, and if I don't get it, it's because I don't want it.
Middle 1500s, and there's another famous name, a famous surgeon, a fellow named Ambroise Paré. And Paré was a French surgeon who was not universally trained. He was sort of a barber surgeon. He, as a young surgeon, in about 1536, at the siege of Turin, he ran out of boiling oil to treat his gunshot wounds. And his description of the events are as follows. The other surgeons applied oil, the hottest that was possible, into the wounds. At last I wanted, that is, lacked, oil, and was constrained to apply a digestive of eggs, oil of rose, and turpentine. I found that those to whom I had applied my digestive medicine to feel little pain, and their wounds without inflammation or tumor. The others to whom was used the burning oil, I found them feverish with great pain and tumor about the edges of their wounds. It's not really a clinical trial, but he now has the opportunity to see that boiling oil may not be the good thing. The rest of that quote goes on that I don't have there, is that I resolved then never to use boiling oil again. And he didn't. But a lot of other people did. It should be pointed out that he did use this, you know, eggs and oil of rose and turpentine to treat it. But anyhow, he recognized that he didn't need the boiling oil for that.
That idea of a fatal virus of love is really interesting to me. The idea that those acts which should be the most about life, in fact, have been subverted to become about death now. To me, my art is about death in a certain way. It's about loss. But that moment's always about life.
What I always, to this day, am moved by is the way in which you burn up with desire. You burn up with desire. When Cupid shoots the arrow, one, it creates illusion, and secondly, you're inflamed. Dull substance of my flesh were thought. Injurious distance should not bar my way. Now, what you really had is a plot. In the imagination of the lover, the loved one is with another. Of course, once the loved one is with another, then you begin to sort of fantasize all kinds of sort of the erotic worst. You know, you sort of see them in bed and they're doing everything that you can't do and so on. But Shakespeare knows better about the body. He says, you know, the dull substance of my flesh. No, it's dull. The dull substance of my flesh with thought. Ah, thought kills me that I am not thought.
My understanding of wounds is that it is far more important to keep them clean and to take out the things that are either foreign bodies or dirty tissue or necrotic tissue than it is important to put something in. It's not so much important what you put in, but what you take out that counts.
Look what thy memory cannot contain. Commit to these waste blanks, and thou shalt find those children nursed, delivered from thy brain, to take a new acquaintance of thy mind.
The last box is memory. This is the only one that has writing in it. The walls are antique maps mixed with bits of an actual, a very old printed book from the 17th century, which has all this beautiful italic script. And the image is Art of the Caress by Knopf, which is Oedipus being caressed by this sphinx. Then the headboard is fossils, various fossils of ferns. And, oh, there's these two heads, really disgustingly deteriorated kitsch plaster replicas of the head of Michelangelo's David, which turn on little pedestals. But they have that kind of artifact look, deteriorating. I want to milk as much of those really stupid associations as possible. It's like in movies when you have a train go through the tunnel. I mean, these people are not doing it naively. They're trying to push people's buttons. And as much as people walk in the gallery and push a button in the box, I want the box to push buttons in them.
Civil War, they tried a variety of things to try and remove the poisons from the wound in an effort to keep them from getting infected by topically adding things to the wound or exposing the extremity to bromide solutions, carbolic acid, nitric acid. It was Frederick Esmarch, a surgeon of the Prussian army, the Franco-Prussian War of 1870. He talked about the problem that not all the bullets needed to be removed, that sometimes searching for the bullets created more damage, and developed a system of irrigation of war wounds and recommended that the war wounds be kept open and thoroughly irrigated.
So it led people to speculate in a very phantasmatic way about what would go on in certain kind of fictive, more or less fictive places in the universe where one could freely imagine whatever phenomena one liked.
The bullet is not the problem, it's what the bullet does to the surrounding tissue and the bones and the blood vessels and so forth.
When the clot occurs in the conventional notion of a clot, it's like that. Well, you say, all right, that's the drama.
The eroticism is the loss or inability of contact.
Well, over the years I've learned that the meaning of a loss is much harder to treat than the loss itself.
Commit to these waste blanks, and thou shalt find those children nursed, delivered from thy brain, to take a new acquaintance of thy mind.
Phantom Pain, produced by Gregory Whitehead in conversation with Herbert Blau, Amy Rankin, and Dr. James Salander.
for me, the flesh is the real, and there's something about a kind of moment when you're testing the limits of flesh, as we've talked about, where you get to a point where you're sort of outside of language. But to me, that's just the most primal moment there is. And to me, my art is about death in a certain way. It's about loss. But that moment's always about life.
You just heard Phantom Pain, The Theater of Operations by Gregory Whitehead, broadcast by New American Radio.